The Lord be with you. Reading from Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he'll sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. He'll separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' He'll answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do it for me.' These will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. The opening prayer we start off by praying as such: "Convert us, Lord." Very important. "Convert us, Lord." And the interesting thing is that we don't do that by ourselves, but we have to ask God to convert us. That's a very important prayer. And that's really one of the basic thrusts of Lent, is conversion. So I prayed that, and you, at the end of the prayer, you said amen to it. In other words, by saying amen, you agreed to what I prayed. You agreed to what I prayed. So these 40 days are days in which we, with God's grace — now, St. Augustine, he's the doctor of grace, in which he says everything depends on God's grace. But we have to collaborate with it. So let's pray for the grace that we will be converted in this holy season of Lent. We will be converted, but God has to do it. We have to, of course, collaborate, but God is the one that basically does the work. Okay, I'd like to take one verse from the book of Leviticus. "Be holy, For I, the Lord your God, am holy. There's a lot in that. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Let me give you a suggestion that you might do in Lent to arrive at that. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Read the lives of the saints. It's as simple as that. How are you going to know how to be holy? Okay, read the Bible, of course. But we have to have models of those who really lived holy lives. Now, there are millions of things we can read. But you really can't go wrong in reading the lives of the saints. For my birthday, a month before my birthday, I asked for a birthday present. And I asked that someone would buy me 30 books of the life of Saint Dominic Savio, written by John Bosco. And it was given to me. More than that, I got about 40 in English and I got about 10 in Spanish. So, hey. Why? Because I know that when I was a child, about the age of Daniel, 11, 12 years old, my mother gave me the life of Dominic Savio. It wasn't written by John Bosco, it was written by La Pen. But still, I remember reading that. Maybe I was a little bit older, but it really impressed me. Have any of you read the life of Dominic Savio? Any of you? Have you? Okay, if not, you might. You might order Amazon.com and ask for the life of Dominic Savio. There are many versions, but the best is written by John Bosco. Many versions, but when you have a saint writing about the life of a saint, that's the best. Like Bonaventure writing the life of Saint Francis, or St. Athanasius writing the life of St. Anthony of the Desert. Those are the best. And the Italians actually say that St. John Bosco is one of the best writers in the Italian language. So the Italians, some of my Italian companions said that when they were studying Italian, the grammar and the structure and the diction and the formation of sentences and the clarity of expression, they would actually read John Bosco, as we would read, Cardinal Newman was one of the greatest writers in the English language in the 19th century. So, reading the lives of the saints will help us to put into practice, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Because we have to have models. To the responsorial psalm, I see connected with yesterday's gospel. Okay, we said five times with Joanne, your words, Lord, are spirit and life. We said that five times. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Okay. Yesterday we had the gospel of the temptations of Jesus. Liturgically, we have year A, B, and C. We're in year A, that means we read the Gospel of Matthew. Year B, we read the Gospel of Mark. Year C, we read the Gospel of Luke. So today, yesterday we read the long version. The Markan version is very short, whereas the Matthew version, we get the three temptations. So let me test your memory. Okay, the first temptation was to turn rocks into What did Jesus say to the devil? Right? Quoting the Old Testament. Here we have, "Your words, Lord, are spirit and life." See the parallel? So what I'm saying here, and using the style of John Paul II, giving parallel verses, one verse that is parallel to another verse, but another verse, one verse sheds light on another verse. That was the style of John Paul II. Is we should have, in Lent, we should have greater hunger for the Word of God than for the food we eat. That's the interpretation. Easier said than done. We probably all like to eat, right? We all like a good meal. We all like a good dessert. We all like maybe a good glass of Merlot or Cabernet, or, you know, maybe like a good glass of wine. It's normal to like to eat. But what Jesus said yesterday, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out from the mouth of God. In my formation class, I was commenting on this, and okay, this is what I said. What is more noble, your stomach or your mind? So they never heard this question before, but I think it's a good question. I think it's a darn good question. What's more noble, your stomach or your mind? Right. Okay, here's philosophy and biology together. The purpose of the stomach is to digest food. Right? The purpose of the stomach is to digest food. The purpose of the mind is to absorb the truth. Much more noble. That's what St. Augustine says of Mary. She conceived Christ in her mind before she conceived Christ in her body. So the mind of Mary is more noble than her womb, even though her womb is where you had the incarnation. But she first conceived Christ in her mind. Blessed are you who believed in the Word of God. How does she believe? Through her intellect, right? And put into practice the Word of God. Because, you know, I could go to In-N-Out right after Mass, and I could buy a hamburger, and I could throw it to a dog, and the dog would eat the hamburger. So a dog has a stomach too. But the dog does not have the intellect that we have. Nor a cat. Nor a hippopotamus. Okay? So, we're going to be praying this Lent that we'll have a real hunger for the Word of God. That means, of course, meditating upon the Word of God day and night. Now, I'd invite you to even read Psalm 1. Beautiful psalm. It's a psalm of the two ways. It's like a psalmistic two standards. And the psalm compares us to a tree planted by running water. By running water, and it brings forth its fruit. It flourishes. The tree is us. The water is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And the flourishing is the gospel today. The gospel today. All of you have probably heard this gospel. Probably you people have heard this probably 500 times. The danger is this. Well, that's gospel. I've heard that so many times, so that doesn't apply to me. Hold your horses. Freno los caballos, as we say in English. Hold your horses, huh? This is one of Mother Teresa's favorite gospels. Mother Teresa. Father Al Hall, some of you remember him, said, "This is the last test." You have to pass the test, an exam, you know, in school. You have to pass a test, an exam to get to heaven. This is the test on which Jesus is going to grade us. Hopefully we'll all get an A+ on this. I was hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, and in prison. Jesus is going to ask you, how did you put this into practice? I don't know about you people, but more and more I love this gospel and I'm really trying to see how I can live this every day. I'm really trying to see how I can live this in every action. How about you? Wouldn't that be a beautiful Lenten practice? Have this Matthew 25 right before your mind. Every action you do, okay, am I giving food? For example, I apply this. I have holy orders. So the way the Holy Spirit works in me is very different than you because I'm a priest. It's the same Holy Spirit, but He works in me very different. He works in Father Craig very different because we have holy orders. Sometimes people say to me, how can you sit in a confessional 3 or 4 hours? And I say, how can you live with yelling children for one day? I can't understand that. I couldn't, I think after one day, woohoo, you put me in one of those asylums, no? Because I don't have the grace, I don't have holy matrimony, I don't have that. And you don't have holy orders. So every sacrament gives us the grace to live out our vocation. For example, I was hungry and thirsty. How do I interpret that? Right now, I'm giving you what? The bread of the Word of God right now. For me, it's a no-brainer. I'm called to preach. I'm a preacher. First obligation of the priest, Vatican II, is for the priest, bishop, to preach the Word of God. And remember, I've been battling with this over the past couple of years. Well, isn't the Eucharist more important than the Word of God? Well, technically, yes. But your reception of the Eucharist depends upon understanding this. The better you understand the Word of God in catechesis, in formal preaching, the more graces you're going to receive when you receive the Eucharist. Because you understand it better. So from Vatican II, no word, no sacrament. That's one of the dictums or aphorisms that has come up out of Vatican II. No word, no sacrament. What hurts me very much is when you have a priest who comes, maybe from Mexico, he goes into one of the homes there in Wine Garden, sets up an altar, and he says a mass, and the kid makes his first communion there in the house there. Without any catechism whatsoever. That floors me. The kid doesn't even know what Holy Communion is, and he's receiving communion there in that house, the makeshift altar that's set up by that priest. That's wrong. And I get angry at that. The kid doesn't know anything, and he's receiving his first communion simply because of the fiesta, the party. No, we got to study our faith. We got to study our faith. So how are you as a layperson going to put this into practice? Well, if you're a mother, some of your mothers, I was hungry, you gave me to eat. Hey, maybe cook better, huh? Maybe learn how to cook, huh? Cook better. I was naked and you clothed me. Okay, maybe interpret this in a physical way and a spiritual way. I was in prison or sick. Maybe your child is sick spiritually. Maybe your child is sick morally. Maybe your child is sick emotionally. You can interpret this in many ways if you're open to the Holy Spirit. So all of us, we are going to be judged on this biblical passage when we die. You're going to be going before Jesus Christ and your particular judgment, Jesus can ask you these questions. Then on the general judgment, at the end of the world. So what you might do is even look up at those stained glass windows there. You see them? You see those stained glass windows? There you have most of the corporal works of mercy. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit prisoners, bury the dead. There you have most of the corporal works of mercy. So that's the gospel today. So let's pray to the saints. Let's pray to John Bosco. Let's pray to Dominic Savio. Let's pray to Martin of Tours. Let's pray to St. Vincent de Paul. Let's pray to Mother Teresa. Let's pray to Charles Borromeo. Let's pray to the saints that we'll be able to put into practice those corporal works of mercy and to be able to live out that biblical passage today. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Amen.